Blog Talk Radio.
Tremendous number of suns.
sunspots right now,
and that can cause
going into this period of this where this solar cloud is supposed to come in and cover the Earth as well. So electromagnetic cloud. So
do you know much about that, George? About the solar cloud that's supposed to come in?
The solar cloud? No, not really.
Cloud.
You know, we are experiencing some high sun activity there, and sending off large masses of energy. You know, of solar winds, of solar disturbance. That's for sure. So it screwed up our electromagnetics. I mean, it screwed up our the magnetics of the Earth, but also it screws up, let's say, the electronics of a lot of the satellites that we have up there. And you can go into details what the sun, the sun plasma, or the power that comes off the sun, how it affects us. But
I was reading.
We're in a high sun peak, anyways. This year is the highest peak in our normal cycle of 11 years, I think it is. And this is the year that we are in our most vulnerable position.
I was surprised to hear that. I read an article not too long ago about a study that was done, and it was about 100 people. And what they did is they asked them not to use their cell phones and electronic devices for like a week, all right? All those people were having anxiety attacks and panic attacks, and especially women, it seemed. Women were worse than men in this, where they couldn't exist without their cell phones or their, you know, their computers or the TV, things like that. So, I mean, I was just thinking, I mean, if for some reason something happened where, you know, the electric grid in the nation actually was fried by, you know, according to what, remember what Preston was telling us, George?
Right, yeah, okay.
That happened. I mean, you know, people will have nervous breakdowns. I mean, people, you know, they're shown that they're
so George and Leo,
to these electronic devices.
I wasn't there to hear what Preston said, nor were the listeners. What exactly did he say, George?
Yeah, you were on that show.
About the sunspot activity?
Yeah.
Well, that and the electromagnetic cloud that's coming into the solar, into our planet, you know. And it's leaving it, and there's an unusual area between the Earth right now and the ozone in the atmosphere that will allow this, that if this comes through, it'll allow this electromagnetic cloud to penetrate the
atmosphere,
okay? And what that'll do is it may do anything from interrupt communications and electronics.
Or fry it.
Or it could be worse. It could actually kill us, you know? So,
yeah, well, if nothing else, I mean, it will kill all our electronics, just burn everything right out. And that's the major fear and problem with that. You know, we would be back to 01 with no motors, no nothing, you know.
1850, I guess, was when the last time that when they developed the telegraph.
Well, we don't have to worry. The bankers would have no money because they'd have nothing to put it on.
There wouldn't be any
electronics. All right, now let's let's back up here a bit if we can, because there are two avenues that you could take this. And with Preston, you know, he was talking about a time zone.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking more in a time zone that the elders tell us in the precession of the equinox, that they talk about a photon belt or a photon wave that we would come, meet in our journey, our solar system, in our journey. And what this does is actually it gives us a high boost of energy for 1,000 years within, you know, the continuing of, you know, the next the cycle as the cycle continues. But it's something that we experience in this neck of the woods every time we reach the position that we're at right now in the progression. So, you know, I think in the last couple of years, actually have come into the belt itself, or we're right now in the belt itself. So we're experiencing all types of different energies and frequencies. And this is above and beyond our normal frequencies that we would be receiving.
So how long will we be in contact with this belt? And
no, it'll be here for, well, 1,000 years.
Oh,
whoa,
wow.
Really?
Will it get
1,000 years, yeah.
George, will it get more intense?
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, this all falls in line, I think, in the evolution of, you know, our journey here in three-dimensional reality. And, you know, it's right now it's coming to a point, and the Mayans talk about this co-creation point. That's where we're at right now, where, you know, the reality that we change and we actually draw to ourselves our own illusion, our own reality. But, you know, we are co-creators of this reality that we experience. But part of the change on this is that we've come to a point where we will be co-creators. And, you know, how this plays out, I don't know. But this is what's talked about. But, you know, in order for us to, experience other realms, we have to let go of what we have here now. And I think that's the point that we're at right now, and that's what we're experiencing, where we're letting go and looking at things, you know, when things in our lives, that, you know, do they make a sense? Is there a purpose for them or not? Is this just something I'm holding on to for some reason I can't think of? You know, a lot of these things are coming to the surface, and people are letting go of these. And, you know, I want to go to an extreme where, you know, you'll have people, what they'll experience is they see a sign and they see, you know, linear lines, straight lines on the sign, but they don't know what it is the first thing they see, or for the first 20 seconds, because they have to make some kind of a rationale with these lines and so forth. And that's not that they can't do that. It's just that they're moving away to a parallel view of the reality of just sticks and stones and just things, instead of things that are used like the alphabet is used. And, I mean, the idea of the alphabet would not exist.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, I've been.
How about you, Lila?
I'm lost. I didn't understand that.
I've been doing some research on the on creating your past and future, multiple dimensions.
Well, what do you mean creating your past? You had a past.
Not necessarily. We've all had pasts, but if you understand the multiple dimensional aspect of our creation, then we have had numerous other. We have another parallel dimension right now that's.
Well, there could be another me.
That Lila and I are doing something totally different. Okay. In another dimension.
That's right.
And
made another choice.
And that
going on at the very same time.
Going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that it could have happened prior to this. Okay, it could have happened in our past as well. Like what we're living right now doesn't necessarily mean that what we actually lived. It's what we remember. Okay, things that we remember, and what we remember is so personal, so individual.
Other of
right?
ourselves could have had very different history.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
there
yeah,
could
that's,
be
that's
there
all.
Could be multiple levels of what we've experienced,
yes, that's
and,
right.
and multiple realities that we don't realize that you
no.
know, because we're isolated in this particular reality, but something could open up the door to the other reality where we cross over and see the whole, wow, look at this in a totally different perspective. And I've come to an understanding of that, because reaching into past experiences that I've had and I've been writing about recently, floods of memories have been coming through that I...
Yeah, but you wouldn't necessarily have a memory of another you in a different reality,
no,
Leo.
No, it's the same you. It's just...
You've made other choices in that reality or that...
That some things have happened and you
but
start
But you don't have a memory for it.
You start remembering. If you focus on it, you start to remember things. But there are vast voids in your memory. You know, that I mean, can you remember what you did 20 years ago today? No. All right? And it's like...
No, I wouldn't say that.
But you can...
So what's your point?
Well, what I'm saying is that you remember certain things. You remember certain aspects of certain experiences you had back to, you know, the beginning of your life. But at the same time, these things are pieced together because, in essence, you may have a multi-dimensional reality or parallel universes that eventually merge together as you mature. And those memories...
Well, you don't know that.
Well, No, I don't know that. But what I'm saying is that it's very possible, because I could remember something, say something. Do you remember... 10 years ago, what we did, da 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 da, and you go, I don't remember any of that. And I say, yeah, well, we did, yeah, you know, because people forget, and new memories are formed, and it's like revising history. All right, revisionist history is commonplace. People don't remember; they didn't live 200 years ago, so some guy can make it all up. You know what happened 200 years ago.
So what's your point?
I'm saying is that we can't trust our memories, so we can't trust that our reality is actually what we remember is actually what actually took place, so that our whole existence is one of creating the present. You know, we understand what we just did in the present or we're doing in the present, but the past suddenly is like air that it's just like on the wind, you know, it just kind of moves along, and you know, you can remember day to day, maybe last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, but you can't remember, you know, much further than that. And what's remarkable is that, you know, these programs that we're doing, they're all recorded, so they're all archived going back to 2006. And it's like you can go back and go, holy crap, I was talking about that back then. Remember that, you know. And even further, you have the recordings, you have the writings or whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that it all links together to form a trail of your reality. But at the same time, you realize that your reality is still open to a parallel universe, to a parallel reality, to a parallel things that
and remember,
that
reality is only
remember.
Your perception of reality.
That's right.
Reality.
What you specifically remember. I mean, you could have been unconscious at the time.
Who
you know?
Knows? Somebody else remembers it very differently.
Somebody remembers it totally differently. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, who's right and who's wrong? Say, oh, gee, I remember this happened. And they say, no, it didn't happen like that. Don't you remember that so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I remember that. You know? So, most people don't really have a firm grasp on their memories. They do have a general grasp on them, but not a firm grasp on it.
What is a firm grasp, Leo? What would you consider a firm grasp?
Well, a firm grasp for me would be like if I went back to one of my first shows that I hadn't fully recorded, then I could remember and hear and listen to exactly what I was saying and was going on at that time, all right? But there's no other way that you can possibly imagine or remember what actually 100% took place at that time, you know, unless you had recorded it, you know what I mean? In some way, totally recorded it.
Well, the mind works so that there are only certain things that you need to remember, and you remember it because an emotion is usually attached to it.
Right.
When I look back and
you know, you put the nail in its place here. It's the emotional body. The mental body has nothing to do with this other than it plays the net between a ping pong that's going back and forth. But
it's
the emotional
mentally
that you remember.
Comprehend half of the stuff that's happening around you, you know. But emotionally,
all the stuff. You know, we talked about this before, about the heart. It's connected to the outside world at all times.
That's right.
So, you know, it's not through thinking or the mental of focusing in on a thought that makes the body move as much as the emotional body makes it move. The emotional body is 5,000 times more powerful than what the brain can produce in its mental state or its mental focus. And it's through the emotional body that we remember anything and everything. And, you know, I'm saying this because you know Maria Fix. And years ago, Maria Fix and myself went through a program, the Silver Mind Control Method. Now it's the method. But actually, you know, it talks about anything and everything that you come in contact with. You have become a witness to that. And you can bring it back, and that witness is in your emotional body. And the emotional body could be stored, let's say, in your leg or your knee in your arm. And some people use other things, but, you know, you have a connection to that. And all you have to do is go back to the thought or the connection that you connected with it, and everything you want to know is right there. And Silver Mind Control taught you that, you know, wherever the focus is, that's where it'll gather itself. So, you know, you'll never lose that. And, you know, we can go on not only from this life to past lifetimes. I mean, you can't remember through mental states because you didn't have your mental body with you other than you had your emotional body, which is your soul.
Years ago, George, I read a fascinating book, and unfortunately, I don't have it anymore, but it was called The Promise. And the writer, his name was Nemeth or something like that. And he said that, the book was based on years of his practice, he had patients and so on, and he was a very popular writer during the 70s. And what he did was he wrote about how the mind creates the effect. So, in other words, if you concentrate on your past or your future or your present, okay, to the extent of you want something to happen, okay, so you created in your mind what you want to happen, all right, and it can be so effective that it can actually heal you from wounds, heal you from past pain, suffering, grief, whatever it may be, where you can actually change your past and your mind recreates your past to the point where you become it heals you. You know, it can actually heal you.
Well, Leo, it's not the event, it's how you look at the event.
Right, but it actually can
your
heal people physically.
It
has healed people. There was one case in this book where the person had a horrible accident. She had a bad accident and she was paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to the seminar that he gave, and he talked about visualization and talked about this, the process. So what she did is, for three weeks, she visualized herself being healed. That before the accident, she visualized the accident never happening. All right? And what happened was, is she suddenly experienced a tremendous shot of pain, all right, that went through her whole body, up and down her back, and then all of a sudden, she was able to walk again, all right? Because what had happened was she had visualized herself prior to the accident, prior to it ever happening, and she completely rebuilt and recreated in her mind how that accident occurred, and to the point where it never did occur. And what happened, it has affected her entire being, her entire body, and she was back in full health and regained her body had healed. And there were a number of these miraculous events that took place because of the power of thinking, you know,
visualization
that could change the past.
That's very often what therapy can do for people who have been abused.
Right.
And what you do is you work with them to heal their inner self,
right,
and give comfort to their inner self.
Realizing that it wasn't their fault that
that's
this
right.
happened, or that it
just
right. couldn't, it didn't have to happen. And if they could recreate that, how would they do that?
And actually, embrace the hurt part of themselves. Not
right.
in the same way as that woman did, but very often people with cancer
right.
visualize their body marshaling an army against the invader, and that...
It puts them in remission.
That's
you know,
right.
It takes...
So their reality...
When we talk about co-creation here, I strongly believe that we can manipulate our realities to the point where these things can change. These things can change us. We can believe anything, you know, that whether it was real or wasn't real. And the problem is that we can't prove that it was or it wasn't. I mean, if you go back so many years, you know, there's nobody to contest it, you know what I mean? Or everybody might have forgotten about the entire event,
We've talked a couple times about Greg Braden's work,
you know?
Well, they maybe didn't have the same emotion attached to
it.
Some didn't remember it at all, and some remembered it
somewhat
according to their reality.
That's right.
Others.
So, you know, and as I start to create, and I say create, but as I start to recreate the past and see and remember what took place, images, conversations, faces, people, thoughts, emotions, it all started to come back, and it all started to come back and flood back to me. And the realities were, I was appalled, not appalled, I was amazed, I was impressed that I was able to, that I retained this much information. But at the same time, that the perception the memories that started flowing out of me had been repressed for years. You know, or virtually forgotten. Why are you kicking me?
Because you have a monologue. We're trying to have a discussion.
Well, I'm trying to explain this, okay? And I'm hoping that George might be able to explain this too, because...
We'll give him a chance.
You know, because I think that co-creation, this is part of what this co-creation is, and it seemed to start to kick in with me in October, November, December of this year, when I started to get these surges of memories and the surges of feelings that that just started to come to me. So I think it's part of the process that we're going through now.
What do you think, George?
Well, I gotta jump back for a minute when I said Greg Braden. And we covered his work, and one of his books was The Isaiah Effect. where he actually went back to the Old Testament,
right?
And he found places in the Old Bible that talked about, you know, how they dealt with healing and, you know, changing reality. And it had to do with living differently. My point was, what Greg did is that he talked about the knowledge that they had then in healing. It was very simple. You put it into a prayer, but look at the good side of it. And what you mentioned before is some of the Eastern practices is that you'll have healers will stand over and give energy to a person who needs healing.
Right.
And it's through the belief that as it was before or already healed, this automatically and miraculously changed the cells at that time. But the patient has to believe it also, that he can be healed like that, instantaneous. And this is an old remedy of healing that, you know, the Aborigines had at one time. Or they use as part of their ritual. It's the powers that we had years ago, but that was like taken away from us when they zivvied up the New Testament. Of course, the New Testament was part of the knowledge that was passed on, once the church got a hold of it, it changed it all around, just like the Gospel of Thomas and so forth was never put in it. But a lot of the Gnostics still hold the original writings, and they talk about the power inside of you, that your destiny, it's a matter of where you put your energy or your power, and that is, let's say, with the tribe of Abraham, and automatically, you know, you'll reach, you know, that Navina that was laid out before you. And, you know, it's like a fractal reality. I mean, it's their way of reaching, let's say, the ultimate, but it all reaches the same place, and the ending is the same. But all points lead to the same ending, but it's continuous, and it's in synchrony with the rest of the reality that this person is living. I think right now we're at a point where whatever we think, and that's the problem. We think too much, because in thinking, you're dealing with time. It's not real, because it's either dealing with the past or dealing with the future. The only thing that's dealing with right now is your emotional body, is your heart, and your emotional mind also. You know, your right half of your brain. You have two different types of thinking that have to come together, and the thinking or feeling, whatever you want to call it. You have your right brain, which is the feminine part of you, and the male, which is more of a parallel information holder, and your left side is more of a serial holder, where everything is logical, interlocked, and it's all linear, and there is no emotions to it. The only difference with the right half is that you have a lot of different thoughts and emotions floating around, and what you have is you have to match it up with a left hat, a logical thinking, to put it to put it together as energy, and from that, you know, you're expressed through your movements or your actions. But it's dealing with two different hemispheres of your body, but also of your consciousness.
Yeah, I understand that.
I'm glad you do. I don't.
That's what I'm feeling.
Only kidding.
I believe that, and ever since I read that book, and oddly enough, I met a number of people who heal themselves from major diseases.
Who?
And this is a number of years ago, where I met a guy who. 1 month prior to my meeting him, had a healing, and he was diagnosed for death. He had 2 weeks left to live, And his brother brought him to this evangelist who is noted to be a psychic healer. And within 24 hours, his entire, all of the cancer in his body was gone. And he was standing, sitting there with me. I was sitting with him. He says, Leo, I'll tell you the truth. He says, I didn't believe it could happen. He says, I thought I was dead. And he says, my brother brought me here. And he says, I'm cured. And he says, as far as I'm concerned, he says, God's the one that did it. And then there was another lady who was diagnosed with cancer. She had been given 6 months to live, and she received a complete healing. And she was sitting in the same audience, and they weren't shills; they were people that were devout believers that these miracles happened to them because their doctors were convinced they were goners.
My associate of years past, Howard Metz, he was a criminologist. He went to a psychic healers in the Philippines. You ever hear of them?
No.
No, but I'm sure there were, yeah.
Yeah, but what they used to do is they performed a surgery on you. You would have a healer that would actually wash his hands, reach into the body, pull out, say they had cancer or whatever, and pull it out. And you see blood around, and then when they're done, the hole just covers right back up. They wipe the wounded area away, and it's like brand new, you know. And it's amazing. But I think in the '60s and the '70s, that got out, and people from the outside world heard about it, and people were going there to be healed. And it's changed over the years. But that's one form of healing that was done. A very graphic, I have videos of that, by the way, in my archives, in my tapes and so forth, and pictures also. But it's amazing, what a healing prayer can do. Believe me, and also healing hands can do, either touching or not touching.
George, what was wrong with him that they healed him?
He had some kind of a growth on his kidney.
Oh, okay.
And there was also something in his eye. I'm not sure. I think they took his eye out and they cleaned it off or whatever and put it back in again. But, it's like these psychical doctors that went through the whole body and, checked everything out. And Edgar Casey, I think he used to talk about that. He would go into a trance and, people would come to me with different ailments. And then he would basically go through the whole body and tell a person what was wrong with him and how to correct it, and would give them prescriptions and so forth, and people would be healed. That's what they do, and they also heal it at the same time. So I just mentioned it because it's another form of healing from years past. That was used. But nowadays, we don't need that.
No.
No, it's, I think with people like Greg Braden, I mentioned, but also Bruce Lipton, who is a person who knows the DNA. And, he says that, we have the genes within us now to do whatever we want. And all we have to do is activate these genes. And
how do we go about doing that?
Well, it's as easy as just believing it. Like telling yourself, please, this is what I want to do. It's like talking to your higher self. Or look at, we all got to work together here. And let's look at, take a different approach to this. And, it's being serious with yourself. And you may have to change, maybe your diet or whatever. To have the body do what it has to do to put up with, whatever reality you put it into. And, if there's anything you can do to help it along, let it know. And years ago, I remember when I was vegetarian for 3 or so, I wasn't getting enough protein. But, you know, a jar of peanut butter stood out on the counter every damn time I seen it. And, you know, it was those times where I needed more protein within my diet. And, you know, I took protein plus other things besides peanut butter. But, you know, it's the body, if it needs something, it will let you know. But you just got to let it move you and, you know,
be aware of it. Don't you think you have to be more aware, more in tune?
Yeah, but, you know, yes, you're right. You're right. Sometimes, just like in my life, you know, I just took my body for granted, and, you know, I'm not in the best of health, but I could have been in better health. But, you know, maybe if I did things differently, but, you know, I don't want to make excuses because, hey, look, I'm here, and the only thing that's real is that, you know, I'm living today, tomorrow's a different day. And that's the only thing that's real that I have to worry about, and that is I'm going to die. So I'm not going to worry about it now. If tonight, tomorrow, you know, it's a good day to die, but not today. Yeah. I have too much on the radio right now. Fun on the radio, that is.
Yeah.
I understand that, George, and I tell you the truth. Last year when I had my illness, I was laid up quite for a while, and but my doctor, the surgeon, couldn't believe how fast that I recovered, because she was like shocked. She says, I just can't believe how fast you've recovered this. She says, this was a very serious injury. And I said, I'm looking at it and I'm seeing it. And she said, it's just miraculous. She said, I have to say that. She says, it's a miraculous recovery. And I thought about it and what she said. Of course, it made me feel good, but what it was is I started to think, why was I healing so much faster than most people who undergo this problem? And I found that the reason was that the only thing that I could attribute it to was my attitude, that I never thought it would be any worse. And I always thought from day one that I wouldn't be sick.
That I would get better.
And I told you about that Wheel of Life book that talked about the chakras, and I concentrated on that particular chakra and allowed it to directed my entire subconscious thought process to the healing of that chakra.
There you go.
And it did. And it was a miraculous thing for me because it really was not something that I struggled to achieve. It was something that just happened, you know, in rapid time, and because I had implanted that thought in my mind, and that book told you how to redirect your subconscious energies to the specific chakras, you know, to repair those chakras when you have injuries or when you have, you know, whatever it is. And
that's great, you know. That's really great. It really is.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I believe so much. And having talked to the people who've had miraculous healings and so on, I believe that they were, you know, that this is all true. It can all be done, George. And
I don't doubt any of that, Leo.
You've been a great inspiration because, I mean, I see how many physical impairments you've overcome. All right.
Well, that's the, you know,
and all because you.
Everybody's
said,
story. But you know, before we leave, I want to go over something.
You had a very
okay.
positive attitude toward your healing, you know, and that's why.
So, what was it you wanted to go over, George?
Well, you know, talking about how this year is starting out here, 2012, of course, it's supposed to be the end of the world, right? Or the end of thing this year, right?
Yeah, the end of time as we know it, yeah.
As we know it, right. I just want to run down a few things that have happened from the beginning of the year. You ready?
Yep, go ahead.
These things, you know, I was going over the internet and just picking up a little bit here and there, and something we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think, about these sounds. Leo, you mentioned something sounds down in Georgia or off the coast of Carolinas.
Yeah, sounds coming from the earth. It's happening all over the world.
Yeah, it's all over the world, but they started basically January the 11th. But, you know, from the very first New Year's, there was dead fish in Norway beaches, a lot of herring. And there was over 100 deer that died in Montana on the Milk River, just floating in the water.
Oh, dear.
On January 11th, the sounds off of Costa Rica.
Yep.
All right. And there was 36 states who seen UFO in the first 2 weeks of 2012.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Amazing.
On January 28th, downtown L.A., counterterrorism training. Also seen in Miami and Boston. And January 23rd, there was a massive solar flare. M8.7 class, whatever that is. And there was dolphins that beached themselves. There was a 6.2 Chile earthquake. And on January 25th, there was another solar flare. And on the 26th of the month, in LaGrange, Kentucky, there was blackbirds that were just falling out of the air. They didn't know why. They just fell in the highway. And also, there was a string of those sounds that was a roaring sound. They didn't know what it was. But you can listen to those if you go on YouTube, but I didn't have the patience to do that. Let me go
them.
On here.
Yeah, I heard them and mentioned them on a number of shows while that occurred. And I played some of the recordings on one or two of the shows. But I can't deny that the earth is changing
it's always been changing.
And the earth changing.
Let me go on here.
Being on earth, you know. So, I mean, we're changing as well, you know, and as rapidly as nature is changing.
February 2nd, there was a 7.1 earthquake in north of New Zealand.
Yeah.
On February 4th, there was a 5.7 earthquake off Vancouver, a 5.6 off the Philippines. There was a rare snowstorm in Lyra. Strange clouds form in Florida over to the Panama City. It's just strange. Over the tall buildings, you had clouds of some kind of a vapor, but it looked like heavy clouds. It was strange. And on February the 8th, a cold wave kills 250 in a cold wave. It's Europe, and 250 people have died. Whale shark was washed up in Pakistan. On February 10th in Peru, 100 of the dead dolphins were found coming ashore. On the 13th, there was 4.2 earthquake in Switzerland. February 14th, there was a 5.1 earthquake in California, a 6.5 earthquake in Samoan Islands, 6.0 in Fukushima, Japan, 6-pointer on off the coast of Oregon. February the 16th, Liberia, Beirut, mysterious. The river turns red. I don't know what happened there, but it's the Beirut River. It just turned red.
Can I ask you a question, George?
Yes. Okay.
If you looked back, say, the year before or 5 years before and looked through all the records, would you see such a number of hurricanes, tornadoes, and earth changes, do you think?
Well, I haven't compared, tornadoes and that.
Yeah.
It just caught my attention watching the news, you know, on what's going on down south. But this is just the earthquakes. And, yes, I mean, I've been following earthquakes for years. I mean,
oh, really?
Yeah. Never in my life have I seen the earthquakes pop up in, you know, the Pacific Ring is very active. And, I mean, you take a look at what happened in Japan last year. I mean, it's, by the way, you know, it brought the government of Japan down. They're in a very bad shape. But right now they're trying to reorganize because, you know, who do you blame on this situation? And they're talking about possibly evacuating Tokyo. So I don't know.
It's a little late, isn't it?
Yes, but, you know, I'm sorry to say it's not over with. But, you know, that's just something that we have to put up with because it's part of, you know, what we're experiencing this year. I mean, it's terrible. But we still have that to deal with. And you know, I just talked about the earthquakes. And there's a few more here I could talk about. But another time, I mean, if you're interested, you can go to the U.S. Geological site and see the readings. But even them, I have to shop around, even sometimes go to Europe, because the information is not accurate. You know, it may be off a day or so, or half a day. And, you know, it's just a time difference is whatever, but it's confusing. You know, I go to a different server, and it's a different story. But, you know, that's the way the Internet is nowadays. So
when you talk about Japan and you said it isn't over, what did you mean for them?
Well, no, I mean, you have a meltdown. There's no doubt. You know, they're talking about finding kamikaze people, older people, 55 or 65, that, you know, will dress up and go in there and do what has to be done on, you know, you know, turning water on, you know, that they can get close, but they know once they get close, that's it, you know. So, you know, it was pathetic when I read that, but, you know, that was the mentality they had in the World War II, you know, the kamikaze pilots, you know, for the emperor, you know, they'll take their life. But, yeah, it's terrible, but... No, it's very bad over there, and you know you don't hear the news. I don't hear the news. I wish I did, but you know I just feel for the people, and yet I also feel for those people in the West Coast because a lot of the refuge in that went into the water with that tsunami that hit. You know, could be radioactive or you know, contaminated. I don't know. I don't know what to think at this point, but I'm looking for some intervention here. And by God, I'm praying that it comes soon. And maybe, Leo, that's the trick. We got to pray for an intervention, but it's got to be a good intervention.
Well, yeah. You want to envision something good, not something negative.
Well, you know, I picture, you know... remember Mighty Mouse when you were a kid used on TV? Here I come to save the day.
Yeah,
I like something like that.
Yep.
Really? I mean, you know. Hey, geez, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't want to promote that if you can help it. It's just, you know, it's peace. It's world peace. You know, it's stop the wars. It's stop producing
ammo. There you go.
And
I mean, you know, it's...
why in God
we've had enough. I mean,
have plants that produce such poisons that have that live forever. It's just ridiculous when we have so many other things we can use to make electricity. It's just ridiculous what we do.
Yeah, I know. Well, the question is, you know, we're gonna
when we have the most wonderful food that can grow, beautiful organic food. Yeah, that nature has provided us, and we have to use genetically modified food?
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I'm looking at it optimistically because I think all those powers that be right now that are stopping and blocking this will be replaced very, very soon. And they're being replaced now, if not by public opinion, by, second of all, you know, the political power behind them. We'll see what happens. Really, we'll see what happens. I mean, this whole administration is not doing too good, and it's crumbling at the seams.
Yeah, they're going to have a hard time, and probably a harder time as time goes on, because I think more and more people are becoming aware, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we
well,
could
we,
get
we
rid
have
of
to
all
remember
of...
also that we have to have compassion for one another and understand we can work together, and there are options that are beneficial to us, not only to a few, but to everybody.
But remember,
first of all, remember,
not a republic, not a democracy. George, remember that even Christ threw the money changers out of the temple.
Yeah,
and he
I
wasn't
think that's going on right now.
Huh?
I mean, that's going on for the last couple of years. I think it's people have had enough.
Right. And throw the bankers out. That's what we have to do.
Yeah,
I think that's what we should do. And right now, I think America is in agreement now to send Korea, South Korea, or North Korea, food.
Oh, good.
Well, you know, I hope so, because those poor people,
why do they have to starve? I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't believe in any of these embargoes. I just don't believe in withholding food or medicine from people. I mean,
well, you know, they can't grow their, they don't have the finance, they don't have the economy. And,
yeah.
You know, it's only, I've seen a picture of Korea, North Korea, at nighttime, and there's like only two or three cities that has electricity. Because the other cities don't have electricity. And,
wow.
You know, it's scary to think about that, but the reason why is they don't have the money. They're poor. And,
yeah.
You know, they can't grow their own food. You know, that's the problem. And I think that's the problem that they're in right now. But I'm looking at it from a humanistic point of view. I mean, thank God that, you know, we're there giving them some food instead of weapons, you know, and bullets, you know. Give them some rice. Jeez, come on. You let the kids grow up, you know. Learn how to read and write and play in the big playground, you know. And even ride a tricycle. Oh, what those years. You remember those years?
Yeah.
That's what you got to pray for, and that will happen. But we just got to be positive.
We would have done a lot better to drop bread instead of bombs in Afghanistan and Iraq. That would have been
I agree, yeah. But you know what? It's not too late to turn things around, and I think that's what's being done. And, you know, I got to say, our troops over there, God bless them. And I think... they're our first line of defense, and they know what is right and what's wrong. And even these boys, you know, you can't trust anybody, because they'll turn around and they'll burn you, you know, as a, you know, and that's the way it is. That's the way it's always been with the military, and it's not going to change. But,
I should come home.
Yeah, bring them home, damn it. We don't need to fight.
Nope.
Let's sit back and grow our own, you know? I don't know, my old Kentucky home. That's what
I
love about this country.
There's a simple saying, you can catch more flies with honey, and that works internationally, too.
Yeah, I know.
We
feel so bad for what's going on over there in Europe. Because, you know, with the polar shifts and the changes, they're going through an ice age. And, I mean, you know, they have... the canals in Venice are frozen over.
Oh.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to mention, George, we've got 30 seconds left of the live stream. We've already gone through an hour. And
so,
I wanted to
for those that are listening, we need to thank them and say good night to them. We hope that they join us again on Tuesday.
Hey, and pick up the rest of this discussion on the archives.
That's right.
So I thank you, and good night, everyone. And, George, the world's freezing over. No question.
You know, it's because of the shifting in the weather patterns.
Yeah,
and we've talked about this, you know, the currents that come out of Gulf of Mexico, they come up the East Coast, and then they go over to Europe.
Right.
But apparently they're not making it up there because the current is... it's cutting across a lot sooner than it normally takes, than it normally goes.
Now,
is
that because of the shift?
Different type of jet blasts, you know, from the upper atmosphere.
Oh.
And, you know, all the different messes are experiencing, you know, different patterns.
Well, how come? from England, it doesn't have really cold weather then.
Yes, it does. It does.
Oh,
yes, it's starting to feel that too, yes.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I think we'll probably be hearing much more about that in the future. And I'm glad you're keeping track of it because it's an interesting topic. And certainly we'll be talking more about it.
Well, I'm just, a lot is going on right now with the earthquakes. And my feeling is that I'm afraid for the Meridian Fault Line because that's the one that comes up our way. When I say our way, there was 3 quakes in the last week or so upper New York or upper just north of New York, 2 in Ottawa, 1 in Ottawa, 1 to Quebec, 1 in on the St. Lawrence Seaway. There's also 1 in Maine. So,
really?
You know, yes, there were small quakes, not big ones. This same fault line goes down and it connects with the earthquake activity that I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
And this is in Missouri, in Oklahoma, in Tennessee. And I have to say that in Arkansas also, the earthquakes, in Arkansas, in Oklahoma, and in Missouri, you have unactive volcanoes that are giving off smoke. So
really?
Beware that there's a lot of activity in the inner plates.
Inner Earth.
Going on, they're starting to activate and releasing the energy. So, you know, I'm looking now at that plate of growing stronger, or that plate being hit more than what it is. And I've had 3 earthquakes or 2 earthquakes not far from where I live, and even though they're small. But they would affect the two Great Lakes areas here in the East Coast that I'm aware of.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting, and we'll be keeping track of this in the ongoing shows. But anyway, our time has come to an end.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking to you real soon. Thanks for sharing all that with us, George.
Well, thanks for having me, and God be with you folks.
Always great to talk to you, and God be with you, too.
You too, George, and thanks for being on. And have a great, great evening. And I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight.
And thank George Dixon.
And definitely thank George Dixon. So
have a good night.
Yeah, and have a good weekend. Join us next Tuesday.